What causes you the most stress, and how do you deal with it? Some may feel like giving up, while others persevere. In this episode of Road to Resilience, we're breaking down how you can make it through these challenging times in a positive way. I want to introduce you to our exceptional guests, med student Jordan Feingold and resident Dr. Benny Laitman. Both are true leaders at the Icon School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. They're explaining how they use resilience to deal with incredible stress in their daily lives. This includes reframing stressful thoughts, facing their fears, and prioritizing their well-being. Hello, Jordan, and hello, Benny. Thank you so much for being part of this podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for having me.
I want to first congratulate you, Benny. You just graduated from med school and started your residency. How's it going?
It's pretty great. Simultaneously amazing and terrifying, but yeah, I'm loving it. So I'm in doing ENT residency, so otolaryngology here at Mount Sinai.
And Jordan, you're just starting your third year of med school.
That's right. So far, it's been wonderful. I started on outpatient medicine. I was on geriatrics for 2 weeks, and I spent the last week on palliative care or end-of-life care. And it's been really, really wonderful.
As you both know, this podcast is focused on resilience. What does resilience mean to you?
So I define resilience as the ability to bounce back and grow after adversity or challenge.
And Benny?
So for me, it's more being able to sort of live with simultaneously all the scary, terrifying things you see and the really good, enjoyable things. So, you know, with patients, all the morbidity we see on a daily basis, or just the stresses, the exhaustion, the anxiety, and sort of balancing that with the good things in your own life outside of medicine and being able to kind of live with those simultaneously.
I totally agree. Even when things are so hard and it's really challenging to see a path forward, being able to still have hope and gratitude and awe in everything that's going on and really taking things in their totality rather than just focusing on the negative.
Why is resilience such an interesting topic for you?
I became really fascinated studying resilience when I discovered positive psychology, and I realized that there's a whole science of living well and not just settling for getting rid of depression or anxiety or disease, but really that we could focus on something more than that. So flourishing, having well-being, and actually having health as opposed to just not having those bad things. And I see resilience as the path forward as we're moving ourselves along.
Tell us what positive psychology is.
So positive psychology is about focusing and fostering what's best in human life. Adding positive things into our lives can actually also help combat the negative. It's just a different approach to doing so.
Benny, why are you so interested in resilience?
I definitely in an interesting stage of life right now. Starting residency is a really scary time. It's exciting, but it's terrifying because you're much more independent than you are in medical school. And it's one of the first times in life where you have a lot more responsibility for other people's well-being. And so I'm interested in this because I'm scared on a daily basis and I need to grow and learn how to deal with that and not let it overshadow some of the good things that are happening in my life. For example, I'm having a kid in a month and I want to enjoy that. So it's more, how can I sort of savor all the good and not let the scary things that are happening to me on a daily basis overshadow that?
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
A lot of good things happening all at once. Talk to us about the scary aspects of your career right now.
I think one of the biggest fears is that I'm going to hurt somebody, you know, not intentionally, but I'm still learning. And even small things, you know, as an ENT, just learning how to hold otoscopes the right way and, you know, cleaning out ears, even something as simple as that, you're going to cause mild discomfort on your first few people you do that on. And I feel bad that I'm doing that. We do surgeries, even as simple as like a tonsillectomy, there's about a 3-5% bleed rate on that. That's just the numbers. Doesn't matter. It's not about skill. So the ones I'm working on, there are going to be some people that come back with post-operative bleeds, and it'll be because of me. And I'm going to have to learn how to deal with that and not let that destroy me.
So you're learning firsthand about how important resilience is in the medical profession.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What are the mental challenges that you face?
I mean, just even last week, I'm having to dress a big, large, gaping wound on a man's back, and it's not something you see on a daily basis, and it's really, I don't know, it's been difficult in the first few weeks of residency to sort of deal with that, that I'm going to see such out of the norm things and have to deal with them.
And that obviously has a psychological effect to some extent.
Oh, for sure. As I was saying, I think every once in a while, these images will definitely pop back into my head. But I think for me, they're all learning experiences. And I think that's kind of how I handle it, is that every sort of frightening thing, every big anxiety I'm approaching, every sort of discomfort I'm causing a patient, any sort of negative thing or any failure, for me, I utilize as a learning moment.
This series is focused on the prescription to resilience. 10 simple steps you can take to become more resilient, all created by our own world-renowned Dr. Dennis Charney. What are the factors you apply? You had talked about a lot of fearful situations you've been in. So one of those prescriptions is facing your fears.
Yeah, it's just you have to kind of dive in within residency. I think it's sometimes easy to not encounter some of these things. You know, we see lots of clinic patients, and I can look down the list and which clinic patient I can choose the easy ones to see as an intern, and let's take the one that needs earwax cleaning, or I can take the one that maybe needs a cancer workup. That's much scarier. And of course, there's oversight. There are people that I can speak with, but that's really going to affect someone's life. And I have to just say, all right, you know what? I'm going to see that person. I'm going to deal with the discomfort. I'm going to jump into that discomfort, and I'm going to feel it, and I'm going to own it, and I'm going to learn from it.
How does that help you become resilient?
Every time you do that, you learn a little bit more. You feel a little bit less uncomfortable. You feel a little bit more confident with yourself. You also know how to approach it in the future. You are supposed to feel a little bit of fear and anxiety. You're supposed to be uncomfortable because that's how we grow. If you're not feeling uncomfortable, then you're probably not learning anything. You're probably avoiding things that'll make you better.
Is there one specific instance that you can recall in recent weeks where you remember being fearful and you tackled it head on?
Yeah. I mean, my first surgery, I guess, my first week of residency, it was just a tonsillectomy. But for a first year resident, that's the first surgery. And it was a child, of course, because that's usually what, you know, who's getting tonsillectomies. And so I was shown how to do it. And then I do the other tonsil, and I am absolutely terrified, but this is going to be one of the easier things I do in my career compared to the other surgeries ENTs do. So I have to do it. I have to jump in, and I have to, you know, be okay with if I made a mistake that I did it, and I have to own that and learn from it.
And another prescription that we've discussed in this podcast series does apply: reframing stressful thoughts. So how do you do that?
For me, I try to use every stressful thing to teach me. Every time I'm stressed about something, I want to think about, why am I stressed about that? How can I make myself less stressed about that in the future?
And Jordan, I want to turn things over to you now. Talk to us about med school and the stresses you go through.
Medical school is kind of been a wild ride in a lot of different ways. So my medical school career was predicated on this idea that I would be anticipating a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress just based on all of the expectations and being in such a high stress environment and being evaluated in the context of our academics. And I think that notion of anticipating stress is sometimes even worse than the stress itself.
Let's talk about one of the most stressful times in your life while going through med school. Take us there.
Sure. So I think the end of second year was one of the most stressful times, and I don't think I realized how stressful it was until after the fact. Just being pulled in a lot of directions. I love going to class, and it started getting harder to have the time to sit through a one-hour lecture. So, you know, instead I would stop going to class, watch my lectures on 2x speed so that I would have time to get everything done in a day and still do my studying and still have time to exercise. And I felt like I was just sort of fighting against the clock at all times. Like, there just simply were not enough hours in the day to do everything that I wanted to do and feel fulfilled. While it was challenging to feel like I had like a pile of things that I had to do each day, I really tried my best to bring a mindful orientation and self-compassion and say, you know what, like, I'm reaching for the stars here and trying to get this all done. And if I don't, it's still going to be okay. I think part of why I love positive psychology is because there are so many interventions we can use that are just little changes to our daily routines that actually improve our well-being. So, you know, just taking those moments to savor positivity. So prolonging when something positive happens, whether it's, you know, something like having a really meaningful interaction with friends or even just like sitting and having a meal. If I could deepen the engagement I have in that moment with something that's positive, that could really transform my whole day and my whole affect and make me more productive in the times that I have to sit down and actually do the work. I had to practice self-care. One of the best things I invested in this year was a ClassPass membership. And I'm not even kidding, this was totally a positive intervention for me.
For those who don't know what that is,
it's a subscription service to fitness classes all around New York City. You know, I pay a fee per month and I get a certain number of workout classes. It ends up being like 5 a month, and it gets me out of my own routine. It gets me like sweating and going with friends and just doing things out of my comfort zone that I would never do if I didn't have that incentive. So going to like kettlebell classes and spin classes and yoga with friends. And when you're for 45 minutes or an hour, when you're in that space, you can't think about the stress. You're so in the activity and you leave feeling totally renewed and ready to just keep going with your day.
And how does that help you build resilience?
I think building that physical reserve and building, really seeing what I'm capable of physically totally translates into my mental world and what I'm capable of mentally. So it helps me with my stamina. It helps me feel like I have self-efficacy and like I can take control over this area of my life and see myself improving. And I think it really translates to my performance.
So one of the most beneficial resilience factors that you've applied is prioritizing your well-being.
Absolutely. And it's something I tell all of my friends in medical school, all of my friends not in medical school, and now, like these past couple of weeks, my patients and their families who are going through really hard times. We can't put ourselves in the back seat. We really have to take care of ourselves so that we're as equipped as possible and as robust as possible to take care of other people.
A lot of the physical activity, I think Jordan was mentioning, is probably how I kind of got through a lot of the different stressful events. It kind of allows you to have a time where that's kind of your focus. You get to be more mindful. You get to be really invested in that and sort of disengage from all the other stresses that are going on in life. When I started my third year med school, I actually started running a lot for the first time and training for, I ended up running the New York City Marathon. Now, as I go into residency, running has become a very big part of my life where I kind of force myself to keep running by signing up for races and spending money. So then I feel guilty about not running the race. It's been interesting trying to integrate it into residency, which are longer hours, but it is a little bit of forcing yourself. So I'll just like kind of get home and maybe just put on my running clothes, pass out on the couch for a few minutes and then wake up and force myself, okay, I'm already in my clothes. I'll run out. Running around Central Park at sunset and really taking that in, I think calms me down, allows me to sort of kind of flush out all of the maybe negative moments of the day and kind of reset. And so I do think physical activity, although sometimes difficult for a lot of people, can be a really great way to handle some of the stresses, anxieties, and fears of the day. Jordan was mentioning some things that really resonated with me in that, you know, a lot of what we have learned in this profession is to put the patient first and patient care first. And while I really respect that, I do think the pendulum has swung so far away from students and physicians taking care of themselves that we do need to sort of swing the pendulum back a little bit so we can take care of ourselves so we actually can do good by patients.
I want to talk about burnout among students, residents, and doctors. It's a big topic right now in the medical world.
So this is something that is increasing, is prevalent, and why it's so important for medical students to learn to be resilient, even at an early stage. I've been doing actually a research study with our Dean of Medical Education here, Dr. David Mueller, and the number I kind of want you to think about and walk away from is 34, and that's the number of medical students who have committed suicide in the past 10 years across the country. While burnout, depression, all these things are important, the most important thing we want to avoid is individuals committing suicide and taking their own life.
Absolutely. Benny, it's just horrible to hear those numbers and realize that this is our profession and we're going into healing others and we're in such pain ourselves as a profession. And at the same time, there's so much beauty and so much meaning in the work that we're doing. And I think teaching medical students from the get-go to stay in touch with those things and to always remember why we're here in the first place and to be part of cultures and schools that support us in retaining who we are as individuals and not letting our whole identity get swept up in that of medical student or resident or physician.
There's some new Mount Sinai research out there that shows physician burnout and depression can lead to major medical errors, and that's something that can obviously affect patients.
Patients should be concerned about this, because what patient wants to be going to a doctor who they perceive as burnt out or unable to give them the highest quality care? Additionally, physicians can be role models for their patients. So we really need to think about this as a way to help doctors be the best versions of themselves, to be role models for patients so that they can really be delivering high quality patient care.
You've actually created a wellness program to help this community build resilience. Talk to us about it. What is this?
We realized that there was a huge gap in the education of doctors and the education of medical students in talking about resilience and well-being and what these things are and why they're not just important for us to maximize our love for medicine and to sustain our careers, but these things are really clinical skills that we need to be able to address and really confront for our patients, not just for ourselves. So we created this resilience curriculum that is a become a mandatory part of medical education. And it teaches topics of resilience. Everything is skill-based. We incorporate mindfulness. This program, the PEERS program, is a 9-session curriculum that takes place 9 times throughout the 4 years of medical school. So they're small groups of 8 students facilitated by a psychiatry resident to debrief, talk about what's going on in their lives in medical school right now, and really learn tangible resilience skills that they can use in their everyday lives as medical students.
What are the resilience skills that they're learning about?
So, for instance, the first one is all about values and how to incorporate our values into our daily lives as medical students. So we give them a sheet with all of these amazing values listed. So things like family, physical activity, zest, love, all of these very interest, humor, all of these values that all of us have. And we challenge students to choose 5 of them that they really are so core to their identity. And then we challenge them to say, hey, how are you using these values? How are these values coming into play in your life as a medical student? And what is like one goal you can make to further these values into your life as a medical student? So that's one example.
And how does that help them?
So I think these are questions, you know, what are your greatest values that these students haven't necessarily been asked before, especially not in the context of their medical education. So I think the idea of sitting and thinking, who am I and what matters most to me and how can I actually infuse that into my life? That's really a lot of studying and sitting in classes. That could really transform one's experience as a student and just incorporating what matters most to them into their daily lives.
And ultimately, that can build resilience.
Absolutely. I think such an important part of resilience is having values and living by them, having a moral compass. By having students directly confront what their values are and what matters most to them, we're helping them bolster those parts of themselves so that they can be as robust as possible.
And Benny, how do values help you become more resilient now that you're a resident?
It allows me to really put things into perspective that this is being a resident, being a doctor is what I do. It is not my life. What drives me is talking what Jordan said, my 5 values would probably be family and love, humor. I don't know. I can't even think of other 2, but things like that. That's what motivates me to get up in the morning. And I think actually this is an interesting concept because I think it's something that patients need as well. I think that if there was a way to transmit to patients that really, what are your values in life and what are we working towards? When you see a patient around in the hospital, helping them realize that their identity is not patient, That is what they are going through right now. They're in a hospital, but that is not who they are. We have a lot of patients that have cancer, that have gone through some serious surgeries. We want them to feel like people. We want them to feel like human beings. So we get the every morning, we make sure they're clean, dressed as possible. We unhook as many of the wires and cables that are, you know, with patients, because they don't need to feel like a patient every day. They should feel like a person, like a human, and be reminded of the values in their lives.
And that's so important, because everything that these students are learning in this resilience course, they can then apply it to their patients, and their patients can learn something from it and become resilient themselves.
That's exactly the goal of the program. It's to get medical students and these future doctors to really hone these skills for themselves, such that when they're sitting with a patient who might be struggling or really is so sick and really becomes to identify in that sick role, to help them flesh out, who are you? What matters most to you? What do you want in your life? And how can we align our goals of care to be what you want in your life, not just what you want as a sick person. Teaching medical students to do this and then letting them be the disseminators of this type of thing for their patients is the way to shift medicine away from something that's just concerned with curing disease, but is also really concerned about nourishing a whole person.
That's not the only program you're involved with, though, right? There's something called Revamp.
Yes.
Tell us what that is.
Sure. So it's a six-session course for medical students and really anyone in the health system. It's an elective course. It's called Positive Medicine. And it focuses around what is sort of my well-being prescription called Revamp.
What does it stand for?
Sure. So it's six letters, and it stands for relationships. So pretty self-evident, the relationships we have with our close family and friends, patients, colleagues, and ourselves. Engagement, so E is engagement, so being in the moment and being present in the work that we're doing, being able to embrace the best of who we are, use our character strengths, and practice mindfulness. Then there's vitality, which we talked a lot about just nourishing our physical activity, our bodies with nutrition and sleep. And then there's accomplishment, so feeling like we're setting goals for ourselves and meeting them. And then there's meaning, so just our sense of purpose and values, and what do we care about most in life? What do we feel connected to that's beyond ourselves? And then finally, positive emotions, how we experience daily goodness every day.
What changes have you seen as a result of this program?
For instance, the three good things exercise was the first homework assignment that I gave, and that was every day for 5 days. I invited my students to, before they went to sleep, write down three good things that happened to them each day, and I asked them not to stop there. Don't just write down what happened, but write down why it happened. I have friends who since last November are still doing this on a regular basis, to write down those good things that happened, because then what that does is you get in a habit of not just retrospectively thinking, oh, what are three good things that happened to me today? But you start to notice them, and really they take on so much more value in the moment as they're happening. And it just helps you shift your focus towards those amazing things that happen to us that we're so used to just brushing off. You know, we don't just want to treat burnout. We don't just want to treat depression, which is so important, but we want to prevent it from happening in the first place.
This is a program that could be implemented in so many different places, not mm-hmm. just medicine.
None of this is exclusively for medical practitioners. This is about being a human being. It's so important to embrace psychology and organizational scholarship to inform our own profession, and also things that are working really well in medicine to export to other industries such as the business world. Lawyers are also experiencing huge levels of burnout. My mom runs a preschool, and I've given her a lot of these interventions to use with her staff, her teachers who are working with early childhood, and that presents its own level of stress. I went up to my summer camp this year during their staff week to help inoculate some of the counselors against the stressors and teach them about being a resilient camp counselor. So all of these things are totally transmittable to other domains, and the essence, the core of what we teach is the same. It's just the examples, the anecdotes, the points of application that differ.
I think that we're doing a great job here at Mount Sinai and definitely teaching a lot of the medical students this and some of the early residents. But if we change the next generation's perspective on this, then over time it will take over in a lot of these different workplaces and hopefully will become more commonplace.
What do you foresee for the future?
I do think that, at least in the healthcare sphere, physicians are going to be more engage with, you know, wellness curricula, wellness programs, be more cognizant of their own well-being, especially in some of the things Jordan mentioned about how this actually impacts patient care. If you're in this field and what you really care about is taking care of a patient and having a good outcome, the realization that the science says that if you take care of yourself, you'll do better, I think people are going to link up to that, and it's going to be a much bigger part of training and practice.
I think we're going to see a rise of chief wellness officers across the country in hospitals and health systems who it's their job to help create the cultures that put this at the center of what we do in patient care. I would like to see programs like Peers and my revamp course to be embedded in curricula that are mandatory across the country for medical students and even pre-medical students, because these are skills that we need everywhere throughout the whole course of our lives, and they really should be seen as clinical skills. So really imbuing this into the way that all medical students and future doctors are trained across the board is something that I'm really hopeful about.
Such an important message and something everyone can definitely learn from. Thank you so much for sharing your insight.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
So the takeaway is you can persevere through the most stressful of times by changing your approach. Coming up next month, we're going to address gun violence, how this can impact your mental and physical health, and how victims can use resilience to move forward. We have an amazing guest who has dealt with this firsthand. Hear how she used active coping skills to overcome this incredible tragedy. To listen, just head over to iTunes and remember to subscribe, review, and rate us. That's out December 26th.